Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, go to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Make sure to sign up for the free newsletter, subscribe on YouTube, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. That's commonfan.co. You got to do it, Common Fans. Football season's right around the corner. You don't start getting in shape for football season on the day of the first game. You start getting in shape now. So let's start getting ready for football season. Right. Get to the Common Fan website. Sign up for the newsletter. Let's go.
Certainly.
Another thing you can do to start getting ready for the season is get your Common Fan socks. All right. You can access those on the website, or you can go to silliesco.com, SILLIESCO.com. Use the promo code GBR for life. That's GBR number 4, LIFE.
Oh, did you just pull those off your foot?
Just removed a dirty sock.
I was wearing that sock.
Oh, God.
Removed a dirty sock from his foot. I'm glad. I mean, now you know what it looks like if you're watching on TV.
This is a worn sock. It looks great. A worn common sock.
The sock I was wearing all day, playing football in, sweating in, shoved in my mouth. Okay, sorry. Wedding Crashers. That's a Wedding Crashers reference. We've been way off base a minute and a half in. I apologize. Anyway, get your Common Fan socks. Silliesco.com. Use the promo code GBR.
They're comfy.
25% off. And we'll even send you new ones. We won't send you Jeff's used ones. We'll send you new Common Fan socks. Hey, we got an exciting announcement today, guys. I forgot my dadgum headphones. I'm traveling for work and forgot my headphones. I hope I don't sound off. Matty O's on the road for work. He also doesn't have his microphone. So you know what though? Like we're calling an audible and we still got to run the play. We're doing what we can here.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Right. We're playing, you know what? We're playing hurt tonight. We're playing hurt. We got a little bit of a gimp. We're playing hurt.
But we're still bringing the energy. I can tell you that we're playing.
I feel like I'm the only one that's committed here. I'm looking at it from the other way. I'm the responsible adult in the room.
Jeff has something to say.
I'm just saying I'm committed. That's all.
Oh, is that it, Jeff?
I have my headphones. I'm ready to go. Jeez.
TJ and I are both on the road working, providing for our families. Jeff, you're in your basement.
Yeah, slugging Coors Lights. How about that?
You are literally recording a podcast in your basement. You're lucky it's your own basement, not your mom's basement.
It probably is his mom's basement. Peggy, are you there?
Peggy?
Mom, don't respond to TJ. Don't listen to him right now.
Hey, we got an exciting announcement, Common Fans. We're back with the summer series. Okay. Last summer, we brought you The Reckoning, as you may recall. And we looked at every coach of the post-Osborne era. To date, those are our most watched, most listened to, most downloaded episodes. So I think certainly struck a chord with the fan base, drew some interest from the fan base. And we've said this multiple times, but a big motivation for us and for me when we started this podcast was providing all Husker football content all the time. So I know for myself as a fan, it doesn't matter if it's May, June, July, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. And it's almost like, especially when it's not football season, when we're not getting like the daily practice report, game day, new information, all that stuff, I'm just hankering for Husker football content. And so that's why I thought a podcast like this could resonate. And then also we're common fans, of course. But we try to come up with content that we ourselves would enjoy, as fans. Excited to announce the new series is going to be focused on the one and only, the legendary Tom Osborne. We could do like probably an entire year's worth of episodes on the man's entire life. He's done a lot more than be a football coach, but of course this is the Common Fan podcast. So we're going to focus on his coaching career. Mm-hmm. I'll pause right there. I'm going to get into what the episode is going to be about and who some of our guests are, but you guys have anything to add to that right now?
It's been just like the last series. It's been very educational for yours truly. I've learned a lot about some of the great things that T.O. has done for the great state of Nebraska, including the football team. And I got to tell you, common fans, without spoiling anything, the guests that we have lined up, pretty, pretty, pretty good. We've got some good stuff going on here, some good content and some good people that we've chatted with that I myself thought that I would never have the opportunity to chat with in my lifetime. So it's been really exciting.
Well, let's be honest, if you didn't even know who they were.
I did my research before. I busted out the encyclopedia. I'm like, all right, this guy. Okay, I got it. All right, yep, I got him. Yep.
It's been educational for Jeff. Jeff's like, oh, Tom Osborne was the head coach of Nebraska's football team.
Yeah. Well, when we do the Lou Holtz series after this one, that's going to be a good one too, guys.
Jeff sitting here like 25 years. No kidding. Tom Osborne, coach. No kidding.
Same head coach. No kidding. Huh? never won fewer than 9 games. No kidding.
No kidding.
No kidding. They should build a statue of him. Wait a minute. What? You're telling me there already is a statue? No kidding.
Little Easter egg, little nugget. We actually, one of our guests, we'll go through and share who the guests are in a minute, what the episodes are about. But a little Easter egg for you guys, a little teaser. One of our guests talked about his recruiting trip to Minnesota when Lou Holtz was the head coach before Holtz was at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And this is the blatant cheating tried to attempt and like was fully on board with.
Yeah, that's
basically trying to pay this guy to come to Minnesota. So God knows that explains all of his success at Notre Dame.
This is a fabrication. This is not what happened at all. Those I can say I was there. This did not happen. This conversation never happened.
Well, the common fans will find out
because didn't Coach Holtz shortly thereafter leave Minnesota? Is there like there's probably some skeletons in the closet back there, back there in the 80s with Coach Holtz and the Minnesota Golden Gophers athletic department?
They weren't even good either.
Weren't even good. Right. They couldn't even cheat well. Couldn't even cheat well.
Speaking of T.O., back to the series. So the first episode is about his fateful promotion. You might be thinking his fateful promotion to head coach, but that's not what we're talking about. T.O. Got out of college, played a couple years in the NFL, and then he was at Nebraska and kind of straddling between being a graduate student, getting his PhD. We all know he's Dr. Tom, and helping on Devaney's staff as a young assistant. And ultimately, I can't remember now, 65, 66 era, somewhere in there, decided to commit full-time to being a football coach. And by 1968, he's promoted to the offensive coordinator at a time when having offensive and defensive coordinators was still kind of a new thing, right? But we kind of – I loved in that episode. So that episode we had Henry Cordes and Brandon Vogel. Brandon Vogel, friend of the program, has been with us on a number of these episodes, both the Reckoning and the T.O. episodes. And then Henry Cordes, of course, literally wrote the book on both the Devaney and the Osborne eras. And so Henry was just a wealth of information.
Oh yeah.
But that one was really fascinating for me. I mean, I learned something in every single one of the episodes we did, but obviously the 60s is quite a while ago. And everybody talks about the Devaney era, but you know, just Osborne was really the driving force, and obviously we'll give the Bob father his due credit, but Osborne was the driving force behind a lot of the innovations that Nebraska came mm-hmm. to be known for, the strength and conditioning program, sort of revamped the offense, even audibling and like, and sort of his advanced grasp of the offense and that sort of thing. And so you see, I mean, you can draw a direct line to the shakeups on Devaney's staff. Just 2-3 years later, they're winning national championships. So that to me was really fascinating. So that's our first episode, guys. Anything to share or add on that one?
No, that was... For me, Jeff was talking about how it was educational for him. I think for me, like, you kind of know about the 70s a little bit from the game of the century on. Like, it was interesting for me to hear about when T.O. was an assistant under Devaney, and to hear kind of like he was a really important piece of that coaching staff. You know, he didn't just like come in and then, oh, you know, a year later, okay, Tom, you're going to be the head coach now. It was like he was working down there for quite a while. And like you said, some of the innovation with strength and conditioning and the offensive stuff, the guy's really a dang genius. And yeah. I'm so excited for everybody to hear the things that we've talked about, especially those early on years, because I think for a lot of our demographic, you know, around our age, we kind of know a little bit about the 70s, you know, just from our dads and things like that. But the 60s, not for me, at least for me, not as much. So that part was really cool.
I thought it was interesting that, like, he was kind of the driving force, too, behind, like, a lot of times back then, you did things the way you did them, and that's just the way it was. And he wasn't afraid to at least speak his opinion to coach about, hey, maybe we should try this, and, like, you know, strength and conditioning and things like that. And he was the person that kind of got that ball rolling and actually wasn't afraid to make suggestions about changes that he think would benefit the program. And that was kind of cool to hear him, you know. And naturally we talk about that more in like the 70s and 80s, that I think he was just his willingness to adapt and like change and look at things and have an open mind about, hey, maybe we should, you know, change the way we do things a little bit here and there to adapt to today's football climate. So I thought that was really cool and interesting to see and hear.
Yeah, for as stoic and reserved as he is,
yep,
he's constantly keeping an open mind, adapting, evolving, staying on the cutting edge, all those things, which is kind of a regular theme in these episodes. Episode two, we look at his early days as the head man. He took over as head coach in 1973. For that episode, a friend of the program, Brandon Vogel, joined us again. And then we had Mike Babcock, who's been on with us a few times and obviously covered some of those teams in the 70s. And then Tom Rude, Husker legend as a player. And that was a really cool perspective to get sort of Tom's perspective, because Tom was recruited in the Devaney era and played a couple of years under Coach Devaney, and then T.O. took over. And, of course, Tom was a defensive player, whereas Osborne was a little more of an offensive guy. So just a really unique and interesting perspective from Tom there. And Mike Babcock, as always, was fantastic. But what was really interesting about the 70s episode, guys, is, you know, and T.O. talked about in one of his books, the pressure of taking over for Devaney and taking over for a legend. And, you know, he, as a head coach in the 70s, never won fewer than 9 games, won a conference championship, had a hard time beating Oklahoma those first few years, but then beat Oklahoma 1978. But really, you know, I think was feeling a lot of pressure only 5-6 years in, and we'll talk a lot more about this, but spoiler alert, teaser, common fans, he goes to Boulder and interviews for the Colorado job. And that's something I sort of vaguely remembered hearing about maybe at some point, but we really kind of delve into that story and talk about a lot more details and just how different the history of Nebraska football and college football would be if T.O. had ended up as a Buffalo.
It'd be in a darker place. That's for sure. I'll tell you that much right now. College football would be in a darker place right now if that would have that timeline would have played out.
There's some like upside down or like alternate universe where he took that job, and it would be like Biff Tannen's 1985. Like it would just be like riots in the streets. Motorcycles were going driving around on on town square in the middle of the lawn.
Yep.
Gross.
Yeah. So that piece was really fascinating. But it's interesting. His takeaway from that, I think, was maybe realizing that the facilities and the fan support at Nebraska were really unique and were really top notch. And maybe the people in Boulder and in Colorado, you know, weren't, the fans weren't as committed. And maybe the situation, maybe the grass wasn't greener, basically. And so I think he came away from that with a renewed appreciation for the fans. And I think also the fact that it became public and made news made the fans realize, hey, we've got a pretty good one here. And then, of course, that was borne out as we roll into the 1980s. And you see Osborne really take things to another level with his teams. So they win, I want to say, 4 or 5 Big Eight. We get it right in the episode, I'm pretty sure. But 4 or 5 Big Eight championships. They go 5-5 against Oklahoma. So really starting to even the score against Oklahoma. They have two teams that basically were razor thin close. What am I looking for? Tantalizingly close to national championships, with the 1982 team who won every game except Penn State, and they beat LSU in a bowl game. And the only loss was the controversial out-of-bounds catch against Penn State, of course. And then everybody knows about the 1983 scoring explosion, Heisman Trophy winner Mike Rozier, Turner Gill, Irving Fryer, Dean Steinkuhler. We could go on and on. Of course, the famous two-point conversion. So we really dive into all of that. Our guests for that episode were Ken Hambleton, who was at the Journal Star for 45 years. Really cool to catch up with Ken, who's retired now, and you don't see him a lot in the, at least in the way you know you used to as a writer and a commentator.
You only see him at the zoo.
You can see him at the zoo.
I knew it too when we were doing that episode. I was like, that is Ken. He does drive the train. What a good dude. What a great
Jeff,
guy.
How often do you go ride the train at the zoo, Jeff?
I just by myself, at least once a month, maybe. Just kind of take it all just in.
By yourself, like over lunch at work or something?
Sometimes. Sometimes he'll take his kids. Sometimes he'll take
his kids. Hey, Ken, fire it up, Ken. I'm back.
Jeff, keep your arms and legs in the vehicle. Jeff?
Can we stop and feed the giraffes, Ken? And then our player guest for that episode was Steve Taylor, which, that was a really cool, obviously fantastic quarterback, still in the top 10 in rushing touchdowns, rushing yards among Nebraska quarterbacks, and top 15 of passing yards, passing touchdowns. So obviously a great player. But also, to your point again, Mattio, as we were born in the 80s, I'm not sure I'm really cognizant of.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Much that happened in the 80s. And I think sort of those late 80s, early 90s, some of those teams and players are kind of mushed together in the memory.
There's some blending.
We were of a certain age. So for me, we all grew up, everyone's seen the story of T.O. going for two. You know, our dad's just like the game of the century. We heard about the Penn State, out of bounds play and the T.O. going for two. Actually didn't hear as much about some of those mid and late 80s teams. Were also very good. Several of them really were 10-2 in the regular season, a borderline national championship contention. They won the conference in, it was like 81-84, I want to say, and then again in 1988. So it was just kind of, it was really cool to do a little bit of research and then get Ken and Steve's take on some of those teams and their experience with Coach Osborne.
Yeah. And that one of the cool things that I liked about it too is looking at year by year the non-conference opponents that we played. Like, we played so many, not just non-conference opponents, but like top 10, top 15, top five non-conference opponents, where like if those matchups happen now, like college football fans' heads would explode. Like, so it's kind of fun to look back at that era too. Like the 80s were awesome. Like just all around. Nebraska football was getting really, really good on a consistent level. 80s, great 80s movies. But it's I don't know. It's cool to look back and be like, oh, geez, Nebraska played at number five UCLA in the Rose Bowl. And the next year they played number 10 A&M. And this year then they played like so many cool opponents in a non-con. And that's going to become fewer and fewer.
And several of those years, I mean, first of all, it was almost all Power Five opponents, first of all. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And second of all, like several, and also you're in the Big Eight, so you only have seven conference games. Back then they played 11, you know, total. So that's four non-conference games. So usually you had four power conference teams. And quite often the seasons we looked at, two of them at least were in the top 10 or 15 usually. I mean, two of your first four games.
Well, what year was it that Steve said that they played Florida State to start the season at night? What year was that? Was that 86?
That sounds right. I think it was 86.
That was like the first game of the year, I remember. He was like, that's just, you don't see that anymore. Like Florida State at night to start off the year. And it's probably like a top 10 team at times. It's crazy. College football's changed a lot. And I think maybe that's what I took away from the 80s was the narrative of Tom can't win the big one. And boy, I'll tell you one thing that's changed is patience. Like just waiting things out like you did back then. Hopefully this thing will develop and things will start to happen. Whereas now you don't win in the first couple of years, you're out of there. So it's kind of crazy to see that play out over that decade when, you know, now people pull the plug on that in 2 seconds and Nebraska waited that out and they got to where they needed to be. So that was,
well, it helped that he was, you know, consistently ranked in the top 10 or 15.
That too. Yeah.
He's winning the conference championship, but
touche,
but still wasn't considered good enough for a long time. And we really, what we tried to do and hopefully did a good job of is really weaving through like trying to capture sort of T.O. and everything that made him tick. And so there was, and with that, there were a lot of themes that emerged about him. We already talked about sort of the adaptability and the open-mindedness, a guy really focused on process, right? So like he talked about even being an assistant when they won those first national championships, kind of almost having a feeling of, is this all there is? Because he's, and I think you see this with all the great, great ones, right? There, it's more about the process. It's about the day-to-day. It's about getting the absolute best out of your team, you know, making sure everyone does their job, maximizing your potential, all those things. And that's a 365 day a year process. And sometimes you emerge victorious by the end of the year, and sometimes you don't. But Osborne's a huge process guy. You know, just again, the changes he brought, strength and conditioning, coast to coast recruiting, evolution on offense, all those things. So we get into all that, which is super cool. Then for the 90s, because so much happened in the 90s, we actually split it up into two episodes. And so the first one looks at 1990 to 1994. And the guests for that one are Mitch Sherman from The Athletic and Abdul Muhammad, which is super awesome. And you know, 90, you know, you just think about the, I guess what struck me is so much happened with the 95 team, of course. And like so much happened from like 95 to 97. It's almost easy to forget. They go from, you know, 1990 where they basically have this, they keep losing to the faster Florida teams in bowl games. And they have this epiphany that they're going to start recruiting for speed and they're going to make changes. And they go from the 5-2 to the 4-3 and they're evolving again. And so they go from kind of some like borderline, probably some of T.O.'s worst teams, like 89, 90, 91 ish. And by 1993, they're losing to Florida State in the Orange Bowl on a last second kick. But T.O.'s realizes they're back, right? And he knows he's got a team and he knows he's kind of figured it out. And then that 94 season, so much happened. Tommy Frazier's blood clots, Brooke Behringer's collapsed lungs, the Terminator, Matt Turman, starting a game at quarterback. Then, you know, everything that played out the way that it did. Then suddenly by the bowl game, there's a quarterback controversy, right? Mm-hmm. And then ultimately beating Miami, getting to the mountaintop, winning that first national championship. I could say, I don't know about, you know, you guys, and we talk about this in the episode, but, you know, for me, I think looking back, I love the Twitter fights about how, you know, the 95 team is one of the greatest of all time. And that's true. For me, I don't think anything will ever replace that memory of 1994, of Corey Schlesinger rolling into the end zone and actually getting that first national champ, first one of our lifetimes, first one for T.O. I mean, that for me, like that's just like nothing can beat that memory.
I think I've watched that game more than any other Husker game, is that Orange Bowl beating Miami. And I think part of it's the monkey off the back, right? Like losing to Miami so many times, and you know, you can throw Florida State in there. Part of it's that. And then also like Miami was really, really good. Like they had Warren Sapp, who's a future NFL Hall of Famer. They had Ray Lewis, future NFL Hall of Famer. They had Dwayne the Rock freaking Johnson. Like mm-hmm. Bob Marley's kid played for him. Like, and then their offense was just the typical, like super fast, like Miami guys, right? They, I remember AC Tellison was taller, but the rest of them were all these like little like 5'8" dudes that would, they would throw like a flanker screen to, and he would just zigzag through our defense and score is what it felt like. But we grounded out, man. That was like classic Osborne. And you know, he does that speech and like, hey, just keep your hands down. They're going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
And it ends up happening. And Miami gets a big penalty or two. And, you know, so like that's the TO part that was like, and I think when we didn't Steve, when we had Steve Taylor, did he talk about how coach didn't make a lot of speeches? So it's interesting to see all the different ways through the decades too, how he has evolved, how he knows he needs to change or adapt and change himself, change his program, change his offense, change his defense. The guy was not afraid to change. And I think that's one of the most refreshing things going through this. And I'm like, gosh, that's a lesson for all of us. This isn't just about football, guys.
You know,
willing to adapt.
You know what that is, though? That's a similar parallel right there to what we've talked about in current episodes about he didn't stand pat. And you know who else isn't standing pat? Matt Rhule. We've got similar parallels there.
Evolving, adapting.
Where are we going here? Hey. I don't know. I don't know. Where are we going? I don't know.
I love it.
Upward. Mm-hmm. Upward and onward.
Yeah.
That's where we're going.
Way to bring it home, Jeff. Yeah, way to bring it home.
There is one thing, though, I do want to bring up. I do remember the Miami swag back then was awesome. I hate Miami, but their swagger I remember back then was, because you didn't have rules about like celebrations back then. They could do whatever the hell they wanted to. Celebration wise, it's unreal. The other thing that I do remember about this is when you guys, specifically people I went to school with, really started to get a little bit more brass about Notre Dame being a team that I enjoyed and I liked. This is when people really started coming after me after you won that national title, because Notre Dame was on top of the world there for a while in 1988. And then Nebraska finally got their national championship
in 1988.
And you guys decided you had to come after me after that. It's fine. I forgive everybody now, but you really did try. You really got emboldened there for a little while.
We were not in high school yet, so we hadn't met you yet.
I'm just talking about this just when I was in school and grade school there. There were some people that were really – and if I would have been in grade school with you guys, you would have been the same way. I know that for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean,
without a doubt, Jeff, we would have stuffed you in a locker for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then for the episode 95 to 97, we talked to Tom Chattel and Grant Wistrom. Of course, you know, that 95 team, wire to wire, start to finish, arguably the greatest college football team of all time, certainly one of them, but so much more happened with that team as well, with the Lawrence Phillips situation and drama there, and just all kinds of issues surrounding that. And it's kind of remarkable, you think about the consistency and the excellence with which they played with so much going on off the field. Then, of course, they take a step back in 1996, lose that game to Arizona 19-0. Still a pretty dang good Husker team, and that Arizona State team ended up being pretty good. But I think Husker fans just felt like we were going to never lose after 94 and 95. Wistrom and Jason Peter go to T.O. They tell him they're going to come back for their senior years. T.O. then goes to Solich. T.O. had made a promise to Solich that he would coach for five more years, and that would have been after 1996. So he goes to Solich and essentially gets his blessing. I'm not sure he needed it, but gets his blessing to extend for one more season. And of course, they bounce back. It's Scott Frost at quarterback, and so much with that 97 team too. So just a really thoroughly enjoyable exercise from start to finish. And then remains to be seen as part of this series. We have a couple different ideas for a sixth episode. I think there will definitely be a sixth episode of the series that has not been recorded yet. But we will probably have one more episode to kind of put a bow on it and tie it all together. Just a thoroughly enjoyable series. And I think, again, for us, we all heard the stories. We all lived through, a lot of stuff with T.O., but first of all, it's been a while. And second of all, I think there's certain, you don't always drill down on the history. You look at, some of the scores or the results of the games or the seasons or whatever. But this was a really kind of fun and interesting exercise to get to know the man a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So we're very, very excited about this, Common Fans. Like I said, another summer series from the Common Fans, just trying to keep that big red Kool-Aid flowing all summer long. By the time the series wraps up, it'll be, I don't have a calendar in front of me, late July, early August, and we'll be at fall camp, baby. The season will be, the doorstep of the season.
This is going to help the Common Fans wet the beak a little bit. With a little Husker memories, get the blood going a little bit, get things going.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be wedding. Do you think there's going to be some frothing at the mouth, Matteo?
Oh, there's going to be so much froth.
There's going to be lots of froth.
And nobody's going to know what to do with all the froth.
There's going to be so much froth. One final thing, Common Fans, Geoff and Lincoln has brought back his mustache.
Hey, it's back, guys.
Neither Matt nor I actually noticed it, and he was upset that we didn't notice it. So now we're putting it out there for the whole world.
That's bad.
Geoff has brought his mustache back.
And now the Apple and Spotify listeners will have to run to the YouTube to see the glorious
subscribe mustache. To see the mustache.
And while you're there, go ahead and subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah, why not?
Yep. Yeah. While you're there, why not?
It's not even Movember, and Geoff's got the mustache back.
Mm-hmm.
Dedication.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Any final thoughts, boys?
No, it's been fun. This has been a blast to record these things. And like I said, very educational. So Common Fans near and far, whether you love Husker football or you're a casual watcher, what have you, very educational to learn about the history of the great T.O. Tom Osborne.
And I think, that's well said, Geoff. And I think fun to honor him a little bit and talk about him while he's still around. The guy might live forever, but 100%. He's getting up there. He's getting up there in age. So it's, we don't always have to wait to honor the great ones, wait until after they pass.
We can still
kind of talk about him and honor him in a way that, while they're still around.
We haven't confirmed this. He's probably a regular listener, and so hopefully he appreciates what we've done. Yeah,
indeed. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Belly G option, baby.
So final thing, Common Fans, go to the website if you haven't already, www.commonfan.co. Sign up for the newsletter, because then we blast out every new episode along with articles and other information as well. But that way you can keep on top of all these episodes. You could be alerted anytime there's a new episode. You can also follow us on Twitter and all the social media accounts and just generally keep up with all that we're doing. All right. Very excited about this, Common Fans. It will kick off on Monday, June 23rd. Will be the first episode of the series, and we'll roll weekly from there. So we'll be back at you soon with the TO series, Common Fans. In the meantime, Yes. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.